This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. It is time for Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Sean, my man, hey, nothing to talk about this week, right? It's not like the Avs are awaiting their second round opponent or the Nuggets are trying to survive, or we had a draft last week to get to, man. I mean, and college changes, tanking rules, everything, man. A lot to unpack.
April in the D. I love April in the D. You know what that's a reference to? That's actually a reference April in Detroit from the Detroiters comedy series. That's apparently a thing in Detroit where they talk about all the stuff that's going on. And I highly recommend Googling that and watching the Detroiters series anyway, because I love Tim Robinson. So it's pretty funny.
I'll have to check it out. I'm writing it down. Sean.
Yeah, good. April, if you love Tim Meadows, you will not be able to see Tim Meadows, and I love Tim Meadows, without thinking April in the D. To your point, just be going, April in the D. You'll be humming it. It's Tim Meadows singing. It's great.
Right there, that was good, Sean. That was amazing stuff from you right there. Hey, you caught up with Mr. Irrelevant, who has a killer football name, Red Murdoch.
Talk
to me about that conversation, man. A great story in the Denver Post this week that you can check out at denverpost.com.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that I actually have spent a lot more time with a couple of his friends, and actually one of his lab partners in the psych lab at the University of Buffalo. Red is a smart guy. This is all you need to know about Red. Red is a psych major who graduated magna cum laude and is also the all-time FBS leader in fumbles forced. Same guy. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good combination in your linebacking core, I would think. And after talking just to him briefly and then to a lot of his friends at length and some former teammates and coaches on down the line for other background stuff, there are times, I know you know this, where you interview somebody about somebody else and it immediately paints a picture where you go, oh, I know why this other party, in this case the Broncos, George Payton, Sean Payton, really liked him. Like, I now know why they saw in him something that would be good for the team in this franchise. Smart, well-read, super guy, running a tutoring nonprofit in his hometown of Virginia while finishing his undergrad degree, which he, by the way, finished magna cum laude with a 3.5 GPA. Just a super guy who is able to kind of walk in here and contribute something in theory right away. And you can see why not only the Broncos fell in love with him, but why, because they mentioned this over the weekend, Peyton and Peyton said he is going to be the guy we're going to send to the Mr. Irrelevant deal, the celebration. They made a choice of those two last picks. And no offense to the tight end, he's a good guy. Dallinson is a good guy, a good player too. And they said, you know, we're going to send Red Murdoch. And I think he's somebody the Broncos fans, on some level, are going to fall in love with, whether it's his play or his narrative, health per minute.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. Yeah, they had both those picks, and it's like, which one are we going to make? Which one are we going to make, Mr. Ralph? We have that power.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a unique situation. And I guess this question is kind of different because you had those final two picks and whatnot. But I'm curious, like, for Red and even Dallin Bentley, like, when do you know you potentially might still make it? I mean, once you're in the seventh round, you're probably like, your doubts are creeping in that you're not going to be ultimately picked. And then once you get to, you know, pick 250, 251, I would imagine, and maybe you're having those conversations early, I just wonder when it clicks, when they know, when they're getting that phone call, at what point do they know they're still going to survive, they're still going to get picked in the draft?
Well, I haven't covered, God, too many of these. I mean, there is a point on day three, and certainly when you even start day three, where if your agents and reps are doing their jobs, or if you don't have an agent, so it's dad or your brother, but if you have an agent there doing your job, they are already kind of lining up the worst case scenario so that it's still a best case scenario, and that is the free agent calls. So they're looking at everything and getting that worked out, getting those tracks laid well in advance. So I would imagine at that point they had a bunch of teams on the phone who were going to sign him as a priority, as you would for somebody that productive in college, even at the MAC level. And that's the Broncos' challenge, where they've got to do, where they're, you know, the funny thing is, though, the end of the draft can be just as hectic with those free agents if you're on the front office side as the beginning. In fact, probably more so with who you're sagging up, because you're trying to hoover up the best guys you can get. It's kind of the same, similar to how at the end of training camp, that gap between that gap week from week zero, where you're signing all the guys that get cut and kind of remaking the bottom 10 to 15% of your roster, to seeing where you can improve it. Basically the bargain aisle of guys who are let go late in certain camps. Similar deal at the end of the draft. So I imagine he was thinking, I'm going to pick my spot now, and now he's not, because they get this call, and because Mr. Roman has become a showcase spot in the league. Credit to the NFL. Nobody markets nothing burgers better than they do. It turns it into something that becomes a marketable thing, i.e., you know, we're watching guys do deadlifts and run shuttles in the combine and selling ads for it. So, yeah, I imagine he thought he knew where he was going, and then the Broncos kind of swooped in there, and there they were. And he certainly sounds happy about the destination, and I know the Broncos are happy to get him in there, because value-wise, he was a fourth, fifth rounder that just kind of slipped, and so they got a good value pick out.
Yeah, it makes you wonder when you say that, too, like the value fourth or fifth rounder, but falls to that Mr. Irrelevant spot. You know, why the slip there? Everything you're saying is like, man, this guy's not only a pretty solid football player, but man, between the ears, he could probably, hey, if nothing else, it sounds like he could create a new way to football. He's that much of a genius.
He could coach. Red Murdoch could do anything with the rest of his life. Basically, and you root for those guys, right? Because he just managed to do so much already at a young age, and is laying out multiple paths that he, including grad school, that he can take. I covered a guy, I know Boo Hiss with the Chiefs, Duvernay Tardif. You remember the Canadian tackle for them? And he was in med school 11 years ago, and they drafted him out of, I think, McGill in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, when he was doing pre-med. And I think if I remember, he stuck it out for a little while. And I would imagine he's Dr. Duvernay-Tardif now, somewhere in French-speaking Quebec or wherever. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that guys have their life's plan in mind, whatever it's going to be. And he's just a special dude all around. So it's a no-lose proposition if you're Red Murdoch and what you're going to do. And it was really fun to get a chance to write about him and to meet some of the people, not just him, who was involved in his life and will continue to be. There will be more stories. There will be a lot of stories, The Athletic, ESPN, about Red Murdoch, probably better than mine, because he's got a lot of tales to tell, and he's a good dude with a good way of telling them.
Sean Keeler joining us, Keeling Me Softly, of course, from the Denver Post. What did you make of this draft for the Broncos? I mean, it wasn't that exciting, of course, but the more we kind of get to learn about these guys, you know, Jonah Coleman, the Washington running back, Tyler Onyedem, the D tackle out of Texas A&M. I mean, just, you know, depth guys, it seems like, but they all have a chance maybe to prove us wrong a little bit.
Well, yeah, actually, in an ideal world, you don't see much of this class.
Right.
If everything goes right, you probably shouldn't. And that was kind of the point. You know, we dock him for not having a first-round pick. I think we talked about this last week. The first-round pick was Jaylen Waddle. Like, that's the guy who's got to play and got to be your most impactful starter from this haul. And everybody else, like you said, you're just backfilling a little bit, and that sounds really unglamorous. And it was kind of an unglamorous draft. If I graded it, I'd go B minus, because they checked every box on the shopping list, right? You can't dock them for seeing where the patches were and finding guys that on paper, you know, we got a long way to go with them, and guys can surprise and guys can disappoint, as well we know, because you can't, there's no stopwatch for the heart, baby. No stopwatch for the head and how quick guys are going to process things. They pretty well answered a lot of the questions that and expectations that people had of a very, very, very low expectation draft. So it's a little bit of what my wife would say about dating me. If you keep the bar, she kept the bar low, and I managed to somehow vault a very, very low bar and have been married, 17, 18 years ever since, and was very lucky in that regard. But I had to find someone with a low enough bar and a bad enough eyesight to make that work.
Sean, always love it, man. Hey, no, don't sell yourself short, man. You're doing it, man. You're doing good. You know, I love your writing.
That's what you said. As a looker, you're a great writer. It gets to be one of those. I look like Matt Galifianakis made love to a spice bag. Look up spice.
No,
bags.
No. Hey, Zach. You and Zach Galifianakis have done pretty darn well for yourself, my friend. Sean, I know you got to run, bro. Quickly, Nuggets tomorrow night. They getting it done? We seeing a game 7 on Saturday night?
God, no. I mean, my head, my heart says yes, and my head keeps going, no, because the thing you got to remember, and I hope I'm wrong, and I say that hoping I'm wrong, is that home team fringe and role players always play better at home, and road team fringe road players, if you are depending on them to save you, you might be in trouble. And I'm just saying, much as I actually, and I like both these guys personally a lot, if you are counting on Spencer Jones and Cam Johnson to save you in Minneapolis, you're probably in trouble. You're going to need Joker and Jamal to be as good as they have ever been. And then quickly, if you can force a game 7 out of that tough roadie and win 3, then you get your role players back home to then throw at Minnesota, who will be like, oh, now all the pressure's on us again, and away we go. If they could win game 6, they will win game 7. Now, we say that after what happened 2 years ago, but boy, I don't know. I have my doubts about game 6, and I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong too, Sean. I'm rooting against you, but I always root for you other than that. Sean Keeler.
I'm rooting against you too.
Great stuff as always, my man. Check his stuff out at DenverPost.com. Sean, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, brother. See you.
34 minutes after the hour. I am. Michael, you should read this piece in the Denver Post about Red Murdoch. It's really fascinating. I mean, the dude's like a rocket scientist, really smart guy. And, that was a really unique situation. The Broncos had an opportunity to make either Dahlon Bentley, the tight end out of Utah, the Mr. Irrelevant pick, or Red Murdoch. And they chose, hey, because which one would you rather be? Pick 256 or pick 257?
256, because really? Then I can say I'm better than you.
No, I think you'd rather be Mr. Irrelevant. There's something that goes into that. You're the ultimate underdog, even though you're an overdog compared, Bo Nix phrase, you're an overdog compared to the free agents that didn't get drafted. There's still something about the worst player, so to speak, which he's not, in the draft, the last player picked. There's something to that. And a little trivia question for you, Michael. Do you remember the Broncos have drafted a Mr. Irrelevant twice? Who was the other one?
Yeah, I believe. Didn't he get drunk and break into someone's house?
He was on something. Got beat up by a vacuum.
Yeah, a vacuum cleaner hose.
Chad Kelly, drafted out of Ole Miss with the final pick in 2017. 35 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.